Hey guys, welcome to The Roundtable. Here at The Roundtable, we continue the conversations that we have had from Sunday morning and how you can have practical ways to help every person take their next steps towards Jesus together.
All right, welcome everybody to The Roundtable, episode number 13. We thank everybody for joining us. Again, give you a little bit of a preface of what The Roundtable is. So The Roundtable is an opportunity for us to get to know new people. So we love this year, different than our previous years. Mm-hmm. We never had guests, so everybody just had to listen to Jenny and I. So, you know, a guest was a special thing, but right. Jenny's done a great job of out and getting guests and bringing them on. And we love it because really that's important for us to get to know new people and for what God's doing in their life. And so that's been exciting. And not only to get to know new people, but also to say, like, here's what we're looking at. Like, this is what God says, and this is what we're studying. And to be able to get the perspective of, like, how God's working in your life through these things. Right. And then how are we applying it? Because I think that's the other missing link sometimes. And we're hoping the roundtable says, like, let's talk about it. Let's try to figure out how to apply it. And for each individual person, which is the cool thing about the guests, uniquely God works through all of us in different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, different so he's using each one of us and our giftings, and we don't have to be like anybody, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, thank goodness we don't have to, like, clone ourselves after anybody or fit a certain mold. It's like, whatever God tells us to be, we can kind of break the mold, and I think that's where Jesus works anyway. Mm-hmm. And so the roundtable gives us that opportunity. So we always have our special co-host, Jenny.
I don't know which camera to look in.
I know, right? I was gonna
I'm looking at all of
them.
You can look around. You got a great producer that's going to make sure that.
Yes, he is. He's really going
to
get it.
And Jeff Diamond. And I got to make sure I say it right. The whole time I was prepping myself to make sure I didn't say it.
He was very worried about this.
Andrea.
Yes.
Or Andy. I know. Like, I don't get, I don't get nervous about anything other than weddings, funerals, and pronouncing somebody's name.
Hey, that's scary.
Or giving them, I know, or giving them the difference.
You don't want to pronounce
somebody's name wrong. Yeah. So in the beginning of our podcast, we always take an opportunity to get to know what's going on. Like, what's going on in life, what's going on with you. So we always start with Jenny because she somehow has, like, either these weird, odd things that's going on in her life we love to play off of, or she's like, I don't remember yesterday. You know, so it's one of the two. So it's kind of fun to always ask Jenny what's going on in your life.
Well, it's very true. I can never remember yesterday, and especially, like, the whole entire week. I don't know, just things happen. I go to sleep, and it's a new day.
Yeah, it just all goes away.
Just wake
up. There's no memorable moments in your week.
No, I have to either look back through my pictures. Or now I've been looking back through my journals because I have.
Yay. So can we can all listen.
Yes.
You know what else happened? So at the men's breakfast, you know how we were talking about that day one journal app?
Did somebody download it?
Yeah. So Adam Shoemaker.
Does he
love
it?
He listens to our podcast. Yeah. And he's using it all the time. And
hey, Adam.
Yes. Yeah. And thankful Jenny talked about it forever and she finally executed it.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And you can use it now to take your daily inventory.
I already did that.
Look at
I wrote a whole entire page of my week. But listen,
that's your whole week? Starting yesterday.
Well, yes.
Okay.
No, these are the key points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your bullets.
But listen, I did do my inventory.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. I meant to do it last night, so I did it today, actually 25 minutes before this.
Yeah.
It took me 25 minutes to write it, but I wrote 1,113 words.
Look at you.
In 24 minutes. I feel
so
like that's
you know
a
what?
Lot.
Here's
that
the
is
point.
A lot.
Is
that
it?
Is
yeah. Okay. I was about to Google it, but I didn't have time.
Here's the point, Jenny, is like, regardless of when you do
I'm
it,
doing
at
it.
Least you're doing
I
it.
Know.
Right. So many times we get caught up in, like, well, you didn't do it at the right time. I'm like, Judas, you did it.
Right.
Let's just celebrate that you are
gonna,
doing it and moving on.
It's just going to lead up one day, 2 days a week. It's going to lead up.
Yeah. So we're all celebrating that you're journaling.
Yes.
You are taking inventory.
Yes.
You are allowing
Well, God I only to... did it one day.
But you
But
you
it
did.
Was just Sunday that you recommended that.
No, listen.
So.
You can celebrate. Just celebrate.
Yes.
You did it. You don't have to
I
give
did.
It like, oh, it's only.
I know. That's. I'm not very good at that.
No,
but
I
through
know.
My inventory, I realized that I am not a good person. I did. Like,
it's
I
all right.
am
no, no,
very
no. Wait,
selfish.
Wait.
I love canceled plans. Love them.
I do too.
You do too?
Yeah.
Like
I do.
It's like a
oh,
breath
yeah.
of fresh
pajamas.
Air.
Pajamas.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Like the whole day opens up for you to
do
nothing. Do
you pretend like you're disappointed though?
Sometimes.
Oh,
not
I was really hoping
that we could.
That's okay. You got to be careful doing that because then they might be like, well, hold on. I don't want to make you feel bad. We'll keep the plans.
Exactly.
Right. So you just do the quiet. The quiet, like, oh.
Yeah.
Leave it be.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're saying, again, here's the cool thing. So taking inventory, regardless, and this is what I was saying Sunday. Yeah. What's wrong with saying you suck?
Yeah.
Right? I say I suck all the time.
Me too.
I really do.
Me too.
I won't grow unless I say I suck.
No, like, I have
me
to.
Me too. I'm very aware.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I'm just saying, who cares? Like, I'm going to try to get better. But I mean, I never told you I was great, so don't ever think I'm going to be.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So I'm just going to do the best I can. Exactly. So I'm going to do the best I can. So is there anything you're watching, listening to? Any recommendations? Reading anything?
You know, I'm not reading anything.
No,
but that is one of my goals. I read my phone every day, though.
No,
like
I know.
Blogs and stuff. I feel like that's considered reading, just like listening
just like
to it.
Audible
on your,
is just like reading.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2020, about to be 21. 2021, if you didn't know.
Yeah, there's
almost,
be
almost
a new
end of the year. It's right around. It's coming to an end.
So you ain't got no. I said, you ain't got no.
You ain't.
You know what's funny?
Wow.
Somebody came up to me at church afterwards, their kid, and they're like, you know, you said ain't in church, and my mom tells me not to say ain't.
Oh,
I'm like, what are
man.
You, the grammar Nazi?
She is calling you out.
I'm like, nice. Don't need a grammar Nazi.
You Pastor know? Mike did it, so I can too.
Yeah, no, what's wrong?
They
ain't.
That's what they went home and said.
It's not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no recommendations, wrong. Anything you got reading, watching?
Nope,
no weird
so.
Podcasts that you're listening to?
No, not really. I don't think so.
Were you like the murder mystery one, or was that like Rayanne?
No,
you both are. Okay.
Yeah, like they learn how to murder.
Do you like murder mystery stuff?
Mm, just depends.
Really?
Just depends.
You know, we could use this as another like quiz because Jeff probably knows this. Lorena Bobbitt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
He's from that generation.
Well,
yeah.
He knew that stuff.
Yeah, knew who that was.
I ain't born yesterday.
When I told the story of, like, I said they were talking about mutilation and how the podcast tells you
how
to mutilate it. I'm like, Lorena Bobbitt. They're like,
what?
I wonder if they have a documentary about her.
They have
probably. Yeah.
I need to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, I have been watching some.
Pay attention
really good.
To the hair and the attire.
The hair.
Yeah. It was awesome back then.
Yeah, just wait till you see it. You'll know what, you'll know what he's talking about.
Okay, I will check back in.
Yeah. Okay, so Jeff, tell us a little bit about you. So Jeff and I have known each other.
I think it's about 7 years
now. I was
going
to say, it's been quite a while.
Seven or 8 years.
You know, so tell the audience a little bit about who you are. What's going on in your life? Maybe two. What are you reading, listening to? What's happening? What are you excited about?
Well, I'm Jeff. I'm born here in town. I started coming to Life Church about, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago. My daughter kind of brought me here because of the youth at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like her friends group kind of came here, so it brought us online. And I worked with the youth ministry here. It was the first time I ever really got involved in a church in that way. Like, I don't know what camera to look at. Which one am I looking
at,
Nick?
He'll switch the. We got a producer there.
All right.
Switching around.
Cool.
So you can look
at it. I'm going to look forward at that
you
one.
You can look at Jenny. You can look at me. Yeah, the rest
Anybody.
Of it.
Jeff,
you never went to church before life?
I did.
I mean, kind of, or what?
I
mean,
did
I
for a little bit.
I don't know this part.
I went to, like, I was raised Lutheran, so I went to St. Peter Lutheran here in town. It was like
okay, well, that's a
family.
Big switch from back
Is
to
it?
Life Church.
Huge, yes, yeah. I had some stuff that kind of turned me off from that church other than the casserole dinners every Sunday. Like they the Lutherans are
go.
The best about casseroles and
yeah, the
What's
potluck.
Your favorite
the
casserole?
Potlucks.
The potluck.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I need
yeah.
to know your favorite
My
casserole.
Favorite?
Tuna.
Ew.
Oh, I grew up eating tuna noodles,
I loved
man. That
tuna.
Was so good.
They bake it?
Yes, you bake
tuna casserole.
So
warm
good.
Tuna?
Yes, warm tuna.
Sardines.
Delicious.
That's sick.
It's good.
That's
no,
sick. What's your favorite
disgusting.
One?
Tuna. We'll go
That's
tuna.
Sick.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But I was kind of raised in that church, and then there was a time in my life where it just wasn't anything important. But I didn't have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of the religious act of going to church, and I was an acolyte, so I aimlessly lit candles. And
acolyte?
I still don't really.
The guy that wears the robe and walks down the aisle, and you light
the candle. Yeah, you have to like, get
That's
tied up, and then you sit up there on the
they
side
did it
while,
the, Methodist
while the pastor
too.
Is up there in the pulpit preaching the word. Nothing against it because I did learn a lot because you had to do a lot of memorization.
Being
so I was raised in a Lutheran church though from like first grade to eighth grade. So I had
that
to get
seed,
like confirmed into the church. The way you did that is you had to like learn and memorize verses and do the Wednesday and the acolyting and all that. So, but after that, I just didn't really have any urge or desire to go back to church.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I joined a service, so I was in a service for 9 years in the infantry. Got in a real bad accident on one of my deployments, and it kind of divided me. Mm. Like, I had a really cool chaplain. His name was Nezda. Came up and gave me
Nezda.
The book of Job. Yeah, because the accident really I was involved cool in caused a death, so I had a lot of guilt that I was ridden with. I was really it was a really tough time in my life. I just didn't know really what to do, like what was going on. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'll never forget the time you sat down with me and told me that story.
Yeah.
Like, I still remember it to the day. Like, when you sat down and said, like, this is the story that kind of, like, there was this moment,
yeah,
you know, that happened.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah. It was definitely a moment. And it wasn't like a, I think it was like the beginning of like some fruit that had been planted a long time ago that was coming out. But it's weird when it comes in a situation like that.
Right.
Like, you don't see something growing, blooming out of something so devastating in one's life, right?
You don't think.
You don't think, right? So I had a really rough marriage, and we ended up getting a divorce, and I ended up with Andrea. We were dating for a while there, and it helped me a lot. And I was still going through some, I guess, post-traumatic stress and anxiety and whatnot. And my daughter is the one that actually talked me, like, going back to church. She's like, hey, why don't you go to church? Like, all right. So we went to the well. I love Josh. Josh is a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Really good friend. We met them early on when they first moved here from the Twin Cities or wherever. I can't remember where they came from.
New York?
No. Yes, the Twin.
No, what? Twin Cities.
That's an actual city?
Yeah.
The Twin Cities
are
from.
That's a city? Anyways.
I believe they were from Minneapolis.
Minneapolis is
I can't
why
remember.
Why would that be the Twin Cities? I would think the World Trade Center, they would be the Twin Cities, wouldn't you?
That's, I think they call that the Windy City.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
No, that's
the
Chicago.
Windy City,
Chicago. Okay.
We are messed up.
We got
I knew
this.
That.
Hang in there, everybody. It's all right.
It's
hang
okay.
in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't leave.
Listen, nope, yeah,
don't
nobody,
unsubscribe.
Okay.
We're, yeah. we're good.
I'll have to
it's
figure
good.
Out that later.
It's good. But, so they came, and he was at the, when it was over at like the.
It was at the YMCA originally.
Yeah.
No, before that,
they're
he
at
was
the
at
Good
the,
Shepherd Church.
Yes, yeah. that's what I was trying to say.
And I wasn't, that was when they moved to the YMCA. And,
right.
The old YMCA? So they,
yeah. No, the new
no,
one.
No, the new one.
The
oh,
new
they
one.
Went,
yeah, they were
new
doing church at the
yep.
Y.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah. So, some time went on or whatever. We started coming here. I ended up getting baptized here. I had Hillary stepped out. She used to be, what was she, youth leader?
Yep.
Is that
yep.
was her
yep.
title?
She came here in college and stayed here all the way through.
And she came up. She's like, hey, you want to help with youth? And I'm like, hey, you're crazy. Like, I don't, I'm not wired that way. Like, I love kids, but right. I'm not in no position in my life to, like, start walking and trying to bring kids and share who Jesus is with them, because I just didn't feel qualified in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And there's still times I still don't feel qualified to, like, lead or talk to people because of how messed up my life can get, like choices that I make or decisions, and you like doubt yourself, like, oh, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't be this guy or whatever. Which we talk about a lot, yeah.
To say something.
So I helped out here with youth. I also did like your breakout groups after Sundays for a little while, and then we had a men's group going on here a couple times, and then our life got real crazy there for a minute, and I didn't come to church near as often. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of staying home and kind of living out the, like, what I want. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't church at the time. It was more just, I don't know. It was a bad time. Right?
Yeah,
it was just
sure.
a really, really bad season to be in. And then a friend of mine, Krista, and then they talked me into, like, hey, you need to come to church with us. So I started going to Mission Church for a little while, and something got stirred up in me, and it's actually part of like our joint testimony that
say,
we share.
You are fast forwarding like 6 years.
I'm really jumping around here.
Yeah, you skipped like 10 years.
I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah,
you guys can share it together because that's the cool part of like your journey has a lot to do.
It really does.
If you just keep talking, he'll stop.
We were asked to give our testimony, and like we can do it individually, but it just don't work the same.
Yeah.
We like tell our lives individually because I'm yoked to her. Like we're connected in that way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so you can jump in.
Slow me down. Where was I getting ahead?
Well, what was the original question? Grew up in church.
He just
kind of
asked me about who I was and like what it.
He's going through a difficult time.
Right. And then you said started talking about Krista, but that wasn't until 2017.
Jeez,
yeah.
You messed it up.
Well, I jumped because there was a few years there where I stopped really coming to church. I just wasn't really being
intentional. Let me take over real quick.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yes.
So, Okay, well, I don't even know where to start.
Wait, was this a year that you probably were away?
Yes, I was away. Okay.
Was that helping you? You can say
it. No, it's fine. It's okay. Totally a felon. So we're going to rewind because the story's real crazy. So when Jeff and I first got together in 2010, I, believe it or not, was like aspiring to be a police officer. I was working for the sheriff's department for Allen County. I was working for the jails. I was in college trying to.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
What?
You didn't know this?
No, I didn't know.
You were in the Allen County jail?
Yes, I worked there.
Both.
I was an employee.
Yes.
Not both.
Yeah. You were there being an officer. No. Did people recognize you? I need to know this.
Yeah, it was real embarrassing, Jenny.
Yeah. Way to go,
Hold
Jenny.
On, let her finish. She'll kind of fill you
in
on that part
there.
So
I'm just saying, this was in my life. I was sober. He's always been sober. But I was really striving to be an officer. That was what I wanted to do. I was in college for criminal justice. You know what I mean? I was working at the jail, and I was working at the morgue. I did autopsies for 5 years.
You did autopsy?
I
can't even say it.
That's
criminal mindset.
That's why I was getting ready to say, lived and seen some stuff.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. But I actually got to take Jeff a few times. Yeah. He got to witness me
do
an autopsy.
Best anatomy lesson I've ever had in my life.
You did not.
I did.
You
watched
it.
Watched them.
Yeah. He did real good.
So,
he didn't
have to cut him open.
Until they got to the eyes part. Then I'm done.
Ew, you have to cut the eyeballs out?
No, they don't cut them out.
No, I just
oh my gosh.
They pull the fluid from them. Though.
I do. Yes, or I did.
You drain the fluid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, vitreous fluids. We have to that off
so that it stays while they're down under.
No, they use them for testing. And
what do you mean while they're down under? What?
Yeah, this is when they send them to Australia. Okay. Oh,
down under.
Austria.
Wait a sec. Are you from Huntington?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
But you were in Fort Wayne, getting all doing this or being aspiring to be that.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So you grew up here, went to school here.
Yeah, it all started with my morgue job. I really just loved it. And then, of course, I got to witness homicides and suicides, and the cops would come in, so I got to actually sit down with them and go through all the crime scene photos, and I got really interested. I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. But in the state of Indiana, you have to be an officer.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, cool. I'm just gonna go be an officer then.
You
know what I mean?
You'd never hear this. Well, it all got started when I was at the morgue.
I know, right?
That's a good party.
No,
I know. I loved it when she's like,
people either
want to
hear about it all day long, or they just say, shut up.
We might have to do another podcast.
I know. So
this went on for a few years, and then I got addicted, long story short, I got addicted to pain pills.
And you guys were together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Through the whole thing.
And this was why you were working at the morgue?
So here I am. I'm at the morgue. I'm working as an officer. I have a legal prescription of narcotics, right? And I'm going to school and I'm doing all the things. You know what I mean? It gave me energy. And I liked the way it made me feel.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I got addicted super fast. But mind you, I have this voice over here, you're not doing anything wrong.
You know, it's
your prescription. But then I'm over here, I know I'm getting physically dependent. What am I going to do when I run out? And then the sickness would come. And then it was I knew I had a problem, but I was super prideful at the time. And I just could not. How do you even do that? Hmm. Being in law enforcement.
Yeah. But it was prescribed.
Absolutely.
That makes me so mad. Have you seen that TV show on Hulu?
I've heard you talk about it, a couple podcasts.
Yes, I forget what it's called right now. But oh my gosh, that's the whole thing. Did you have a true reason and why you needed it?
At first. And then I started manipulating.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
I completely was better, but at this point I was just really addicted and didn't want to let anybody know. I was keeping it from secret from Jeff even. Mm-hmm.
But at some point Jeff found out because Jeff and I met one time.
Yes.
And I can remember talking about it because I would see you. You guys were together. And you know how sometimes you can be that person's addicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That person's you are completely functioning.
She was.
For a long time.
And Jeff said that. She struggles with some pain pills, but
you have no idea.
Goes to work every
working
two jobs.
I was absolutely functioning for a very long time until I wasn't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's just what
so
it is.
So you hadn't used drugs any time before
now,
that?
No, no. I absolutely, like, as a teenager, younger 20s, but it was like, never an addiction. No, I was, it was like, oh, different. I just, you know, tried that or on the weekends or, you know, go out and drink on the weekends. Right. But it was, I never have been chained to something like
So it wasn't like when you got this script in the very beginning, you were like, okay, I need to be cautious. Like,
no, there was no thought
I had
that.
No thought of that whatsoever. I did not think ever that I would lose control the way that I did. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, I ended up losing everything, my career. I literally had the detectives come to my door and they said, you're done. Give me your badge.
How long did this take?
Probably about a year and a half. Then they found out. So I was just done. Like, that's how it ended. It was no like, let's talk, let's get you help. They were just like, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
So after that happened, I completely lost hope. So mind you, he comes home from work. And I have to sit him down and say, honey, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Like, not only did I just lose everything, I'm addicted to some heavy narcotics.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
This is what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what do you do with that?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do with that? There wasn't any programs during that time. We had called drug rehabs. They were literally like $28,000.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was more than that. It was like 50.
We were in bed that day trying to, like, figure this out. And it was hard for her to come to me because, like, so many people out there that will hear this podcast or have talked to people in addiction, as somebody that's not in addiction, you know, we are real quick to pass judgment on people in their mess, like what it looks like in their mess. Like, oh, there's another pill hit or, this person should have known better. Why they put themselves in that position, you know, but the conditions of the heart and where people are emotionally, psychologically, like what's going on in our life, we don't look at that part.
Mm-hmm.
So this was something new to me as well. And of course I loved her with all my heart and I wanted to hear out like how this looked and like, how do we fix this? Right. Well, this wasn't when people had as much of a, there wasn't as much vocalization about addiction as there is today.
Or
like
grace
especially.
This was in 2012.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially
now, mind
back
you,
then it was way worse.
Yes.
Like people,
oh,
like,
my God.
There
was
absolutely
no help.
I worked in the courtrooms, like, as a jailer, and I am not kidding you when I say it was like, you sell a Vicodin, 30 years, see ya.
Yeah.
You know,
it was bad.
There was no
just throwing
tolerance
the away.
Whatsoever.
Yeah. Really?
So then I also had that, just that immense, like, because it was just addiction was looked at so differently.
So
even
differently.
Like, this is very new.
Yes.
This whole, like, people do recover.
Like stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even know what recovery was. I had never even heard of the word.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was either you get high or you don't.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
So
Then
when we do find out, like, this is what recovery programs look like, they're like $60,000 in Florida and are 90-day programs.
Yeah, the hospital.
Well, now that we know, like, the 90-day programs aren't really that successful.
Not at all.
You know, you don't give enough time for your body to actually readjust chemically. Like, you start putting off different... your pituitary gland just doesn't work the same as what it did before.
And like, you're not treating
you've changed,
the problem.
Yeah, you've changed the everything in your body and your mindset and all of that. So,
we stayed in this cycle. I remember him coming to church, and I would come every now and then. But I am telling you, I was walking dead, like complete. Like, there was nothing penetrating me. I probably didn't even. I remember there was days where him and Ava would come, and I'm super thankful for that now. But, like, when I was in that addiction, I would either stay home or I would just be like, oh, I can't wait till he comes home so I can use the car so that I can go get, you know what I mean, what I need.
Yeah.
Because it got to the point when I lost my career, I went into heroin. I started using a needle. Like, I got super bad.
Yeah.
Real fast. And at that point, I just didn't care about nothing anymore. Like, nothing. It was, I can't even tell you, like,
I remember,
it was just crazy.
Yeah.
When that first started happening is when Hillary had asked me to go on the Chicago trip with the with the eighth grade team. And the whole time I'm gone, I was worried because I knew, like, where she had gotten, what she had gotten herself into to a certain degree at that time. And this wasn't even like the worst of it. Like, this is just like the tip of it at this point, like, of bad. So the whole time we're in Chicago, like, I'm worried about what that looks like at home for her and for Ava and just in her health in general. Like, what is she doing? Like, oh, my gosh. And so it started to put a lot of stress on all fronts, you know, on herself. Like, how do I manage through this? I don't even care anymore. You know, there was moments where it's like, what do I do?
Right.
I can't keep this lifestyle up forever.
Right.
Yeah.
And can I – so this is going to be an ignorant question because obviously, you know, you guys can relate, like, how addiction works and stuff. And I mean, I've never been through it. So anybody that says, like, oh, I could just relate with it, I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah. What and that you don't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even going to, but, you know, like, maybe to help people who are out there, you know, that are watching, that are processing these things and are at this place. Because I think, you know, like, when Sherry was sick, you know, the pain stuff that she was on through all of that time. And I mean, they talk so much about, like, got to do this because we don't want you to get, but right. I mean, so obviously there's this awareness now that pain medication can move you into. We have the history of being with, you know, the Clark's parents, you know, Josh and Liz, who, you know, started somewhere and ended up, you know, at another place. And so you said, like, started with prescription meds and then ended up getting worse. What do you think was, like, the trigger, or what made it go into, or what can people be aware of, like, to, so that it doesn't go as deep? Because I think I hear you saying that. Like,
yeah,
I was on the pain meds, so it was a deal. Like, I lost my job, but I was functioning, knew I had to fix something. But then, and again, I'm putting words into your mouth, so I don't know this is what you said, but then there was, like, this drop-off point. So then it was, it got worse. So what made it worse? Was
I've often thought about that. I think looking back, I've always been a very driven, successful person. And when I lost all that, I put my my identity into that. So when that was gone, I just didn't care anymore. Right. Like, and I was just so, like, spiritually bankrupt even, you know what I mean? And I've always been a believer in Christ. I wore this cross necklace every single day in my addiction when I was putting needles in my arm, you know what I mean? So I just didn't have that relationship. Like Jeff said, it's a huge difference. You can believe all day long, you know? And I always thought of myself as a good person and you know what I mean? Until I got into this just horrible addiction, I guess, you know? So Jeff was, you know, did everything from cry to beg,
kick,
to
scream,
cuss me out,
phones,
threatened to leave. It did not matter because it love it just that is not enough, you know what I mean, to get anybody to stop. So fast forward 2017,
we had moved, we lost our house. Like, there was times where we couldn't pay a water bill. Like, we were we were really going through it. Not just that wasn't because of the addiction, that was just where we were at. Like, we just were at a rough spot in our lives, like, financially and our home and whatever. So we moved, and we moved up to college where we're at currently. And we're going to try to start something new. And for her, that was like, okay, I'm going to take myself away from this spot that I was at and bring myself somewhere new.
Right.
Yeah. So in 2000.
Still taking it with you.
Yeah, absolutely. That did not
you
even
can't move
work.
Anywhere because you can't move away from yourself.
No. And there was a part of me that was hopeful, like, okay, maybe we'll get away.
That's what you think.
You know, like, but it didn't. It followed, you know.
So, 2017, SWAT team comes, just kicks our door in, 20 officers swarming our living room. Yeah. He was at work that I am serious.
I'm sorry, his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew that you.
It's just another day in the neighborhood.
No, I was like 20.
Am I exaggerating?
I wasn't there.
No,
I was really high that morning.
Like,
maybe
this is
15.
Huntington. I'm like,
but it was a lot.
They bring in Fort Wayne teams to do it.
It was
so not just Huntington.
Absolutely kicked our door in. It was like the scene of a movie, and it was just me and my Ava there that morning. You know,
oh my gosh.
So he was at work, and they obviously had a warrant to serve me for 3 felony dealing charges. You know, mind you, that they used to just. Like, I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
Very lucky that I'm sitting here with you guys today. You know what I mean? Because I.
No, I don't.
We're blessed.
I really don't know what you mean.
We are blessed right now with the team, the task force that we have that are in the community right now, from Detective Boxall and Hacker.
This community.
And this community that I'm talking about. Like, in general. Like, it used to be like we'd just throw you away.
So you're saying 3 felony dealings.
That would have been
almost
a lot of
as
time.
Bad as like murdering somebody.
Yeah. I mean, they would have, if this would have happened to me in 2008, 2009, I would never have seen
she would have got
again. I would have absolutely,
Yeah.
I would have absolutely probably got 30 to 40 year sentence handed to me.
For dealing.
You know what I heard? Manslaughter can get a charge up to 15 years. Yeah. And for somebody like, especially for addicts,
don't
even get me started on that rampage because it makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm learning.
Well,
what they learned
is like, okay, so dealing with the problem in the way that they were dealing with the problem wasn't fixing the problem. It just kept getting worse.
Right. Yeah.
So then they're like, okay, so it was like a big heart transplant. Like everybody had to start seeing people as people and being like, well, how do
and
we get
to talking about the community that we live in now. Like I'm trying to understand like the difference between you're saying like Fort Darien come down, but part of what helped you was is because there are people in this community that have changed
their mindset, and they've seen that people, because of these Christ-centered programs, I'm sure of that, that people are actually learning to, I really truly feel like people just have an encounter with God and it changes their life. Yeah. But there's so many people who are successful in recovery, because believe me, back when I was in addiction and before I went to prison, I did not even know what recovery was. Mm-hmm. It was very new to Huntington.
Right.
They arrest me 2017. I got an 8-year sentence handed to me. But they made me purposeful incarceration, which means that instead of doing all that time, I went straight to prison. I did substance abuse and then with good behavior, and I didn't get any write-ups and graduated the program, then they could possibly modify me out of prison early, which is what happened. So I did 2 whole years in prison, and then I modified out and did another 14 months in a Christ-centered program, and then graduated that and then came home. But for me, I truly had a crazy supernatural encounter with God in a jail cell, because that's just where he likes to meet a lot of us.
Yes, he does.
amen. So it has completely changed my life. Huh. So, I know that with like that morning, and Ava just did her testimony. Mm-hmm. We go around to churches and speak about this. Right. And my daughter just gave her perspective of parents growing up in addiction just this past Friday. And that was a really traumatizing morning for myself.
Oh my gosh.
But it was super traumatizing for her to witness and to listen to her as being a 10-year-old. Witnessing that, and even him, and in the aftermath of like after I was picked up, and, you know,
because she's seeing her mom being taken away, and they're kicking in the door, which is scary.
Oh yeah, you all should see our door. We still have that mark.
Yeah, they're trying to pry it.
You know,
they're trying to pry it
because they saw the drug dealers not as addicts, because most of the dealers are dealing because of their addiction.
I would with the cops the way they come in and stuff like that. I think they're right about a little bit of a fear tactic involved in it. Like
you have, and you don't know, but
you have to be aggressive and get in and get control of the situation before she might try to swallow drugs or hide things
or have a gun.
Yes. So that can go a lot of different ways, but it was, I mean, it really affected Ava, and you know, I had to come home early. Well, actually I didn't come home early, 'cause I had like 20 minutes left. They're like, just finish out the last 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is
the last 20 minutes of what?
My work day. They were gonna point me.
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
And your wife's getting arrested.
She was already gone. DCS was there with her, and we were blessed with an amazing lady that helped with the DCS case. Like, just huge heart for kids and situations, and seeing people where they're at. She was a blessing for sure.
Well, can we talk a little bit about, because this is the thing that I always think is fascinating, you know, especially when it comes to, because I mean, I'm not like, recovery programs are good and other things are, you know, all of these systematic approaches, like I'm not in it, so I don't know. I mean, I keep hearing like Huntington's working really hard to identify the drug problem and do things about it. But I loved when you said like, I had a, like there's something that went after, but I had a supernatural encounter, you know, and I think that's important, you know, for us to not just like, gloss that over.
Yeah.
Like, I had a supernatural encounter, and then I went to drug rehab. And
then I went to McDonald's. It's
like, right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's good for people to hear, like, because I think people have forgot about the supernatural. You know, I think we live in a Christian culture that have forgot that, you know, God raised people from the dead. And, you know, there's just, like, there's supernatural things that go on. And I think at times we're afraid to, not that you, but other people are afraid to talk about it or even share it. Like, because they're like, this is so weird. We go to a normal church. Like,
don't have
supernatural. Yeah. And I'm like, it's abnormal. If you don't have supernatural, like if the supernatural isn't going on, he says it's happening. You know what I mean? He says that it's going on. So why wouldn't we have stories about it? So can you talk about it at all?
Yeah, I love talking about it.
Were you in jail or prison?
I was in jail. It all started.
To go to prison?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hold on. Kind of like the supernatural, like that part of it happened after the, of course, the cops coming in and knocking in the door. She went to She went to jail. She bonded out. She went and lived in Fort Wayne because there was a no contact order with Ava. So there was a real struggle between all of that with all of us. You know, our whole family unit was like really just in distress.
Yeah.
Like we didn't really know exactly how to deal and manage with everything going on. So she's up there. Her mom has a stroke, a really massive stroke.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
She's freaking out. I have to tell Ava, I have to try to like be that mom element, and I can't do that. Like Ava talks about that in her testimony. Like there's parts that I can't do.
Right.
So we all go up there. Nancy is in a really bad shape. Andrea is in really bad shape. She's praying. She's asking God to help, you know, like what's going on, but in the same time shooting up again. Like it's, it's that back and forth in her life. So there was like this starting to be this shift. Like we talk about between our being in the supernatural, like, right. We start to see like different glimpses of it. And I think like addiction itself is in a supernatural, I think it's a spiritual battle that they're fighting.
Definitely.
And I believe it's a lot of darkness. I believe it's a lot of torment. I believe it's in a demonic. I really believe like it really starts to change. I watched my best friend go from who she was to somebody I didn't know. Right. And it was really hard. It was like, oh my gosh, like this was really like completely changed her personality.
Completely.
Her, like everything about her. Like she doesn't care, but she was like the most caring person. Like she wants to care, but it's like there's this disconnect. As soon as she has to use, then she's gotta go.
Right.
Go to the gas station.
Well, there's a guy a guy after church that came up to me and he's like, we were talking to him. I haven't seen him in a long time. And he's like, I want to share something with you, but I mean, I don't want it to sound weird. And I'm like, well, tell me. So he had this back injury, and through the back injury, started getting on pain pills and started drinking because it was the only thing, to the point where, like, he just, he's going to end up in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, and he was somewhere at a church for something, and some guy saw him and looked at him and said, I don't know what's going on, but I see demons in you. You know, and he prayed for him at that moment. And he says, after that guy laid, took his hands off of me, I went from, I was getting ready to pick up a wheelchair to I'm completely.
That's awesome.
Are you serious?
And I'm like,
that's so good.
Why are you afraid to tell me? You
think don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Dude, I believe in that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I want his name so I can.
I'm just saying, like, this does not.
She's
like,
got the next podcast set up.
To just share that. We've already said that the war that's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a spiritual battle. We know all those things. So why aren't we willing to talk about it?
Real quick, I want to tell you this story. We came to church here, and when I tell you...
That was awesome.
You already know what I'm saying.
Yes, ma'am.
When at the very, very last of my freedom, probably last 6 months, I started shooting cocaine. And I never got into meth or nothing, but I am telling you, it was a very demonic drug. I had... I'm telling you, I would sit, and I would take tweezers and I would pick my skin because I thought that there was things under my skin, my whole entire body, and I'm not exaggerating, was scabs.
That's what like, I mean, it was so hard to like
really
watch
on my
somebody.
Face,
like,
but on my entire body.
You're mixing it too, right?
Yes, speedballing. And I would hear voices, I would hear blood-curdling screams, and I knew that like... they're not in my head. Like, this is weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's complete. So we came to church one day, and I actually came with him, this church, and we were leaving. And there was this, I don't even know,
there
this
was
little
a
Indian guy out here, and he was pacing the sidewalk, just pacing.
Looking
and
at
I
the building
like,
across the street.
What's he doing? Well, he told us he was from another state, and he was going to buy this building over here, wherever we, next door. And he's, and so him and Jeff, you know, Jeff, he talks to everybody. So I'm just sitting in the car and I'm smoking a cigarette and I'm thinking like,
come on, let's
hurry
go.
Up. And this man makes eye contact with me and he's like, come here. And I'm like, okay. And so I go over and I can't really remember what he like speaks over me, but he says, basically tell me like something ain't right with you. And can I pray for you? And I'm like, okay. So he puts his hand, he starts praying in tongues and he just goes like, and I'm just like, of course, spiritually dead, so I have no idea what's going on.
Internally,
now I know he was like in a prayer language, but then I was like thinking it was just like his native little Indian language, you know? So I don't know. So, but I'm telling you, like, we have never seen that man again. I don't know exactly what he interceded for me, but I know
an angel.
That's what I said.
We have talked about that experience.
He says, like, you're gonna entertain angels.
No,
I know. It's true.
Because I've had that happen. The whole situation, she's like, that we got back in the car, she's like,
that was weird. I was like, no, babe, that was God. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, like, there
you can
is
see it now.
Trying to speak life now into you. Like, right. Awesome. I thought that was me to jump on board, like, it's going to change today.
Yes.
There it is.
And it didn't you change, right? Like, so, like, he's even said, like, God knows how many people were praying for me. I have a lot of really good, close Christian friends who were probably, like, watching me whittle away to nothing, and and I'm here because of their prayers and my family's prayers and his prayers, and it did not happen the way that we thought. Like, he was not asking for the whole SWAT team to come and kick our door in, and me being taken off to prison.
She had gotten arrested. I had made that prayer, like, God, whatever this looks like, just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I was ready. I told her 2 weeks before, I'm like, you figure this out in a couple weeks or I'm out. Right. I'm done. I'm not doing this no more.
But listen, let's make sure we talk about this, because this is just forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, I think people forget to do this. Listen, you don't know. Like, everybody forgets, like, if there's a prompting from the Holy Spirit, I don't care what it is, you need to do it. Mm-hmm. And you need to do it without the idea of whether it is or isn't going to fix it, because it could change somebody's life.
Yes. Yeah.
You could be the angel. You could be the interceder. And again, you could walk away from that and say, well, I don't know if it didn't or did not work. Yeah. But you're sharing a story of somebody who saw and listened and did, and whether it was an angel that God put in human form, because we know that that can work, and we know that that it is, or whether that was a man prompted by the Holy Spirit to do, it's a marker in your life where you can say that was God.
Yep. Yeah, he's seen Jesus in her.
That's my point. Yeah. My point is that if we want to prove that there is a living God, then let's point it out.
Yeah,
yeah.
And let's, through our story, say he's living right there. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not that he fixed you. Like, that wasn't the point. But he did what he was told to do, and now it's a spiritual marker in your life where you can tell a story and say, God came to me even when I wasn't coming to him. So if you want to know, if you're in this mess right now, if you want to know if God's pursuing you, he is.
Always.
He's not mad at you.
No.
He's not disappointed in you. He doesn't want to spank you. He doesn't want to throw you away.
Right.
He's pursuing you. So everybody out there that you're speaking to right now, that's what you're trying to tell him. Listen, like, I know what the world says of you, but that's not what he's saying.
Right.
Like, he's sending people. Yeah. You might not even want them. That's okay.
Right.
He's sending them anyway.
Right.
And I think your story is so cool
that. Yeah, it is. When I was sitting in jail, I literally, now mind you, I'm sitting in the jail I used to work at. And so that was quite the humbling experience. And me and one of my ex-coworkers got into an argument, and I got put on lockdown. And so here I am in a cell for 14 days, can't come out. It's just me, the Bible, and some concrete. And I cannot even begin to tell you, like, that was the moment where, like, now mind you, a couple days before I went into the jail, my mother had a massive stroke. So here I don't even have my mom to count on, like, for this whole 2 months. Like, when the drug bust happened, I bonded out, and I was kind of out roaming in my wilderness for the last couple months, and thought that I was going to have her, thought that I was going to have him, thought that, like, everybody that loved me was going to be there for me.
Right.
And that is not what happened. You know what I mean? My mom ended up passing away a couple weeks before I got out of prison, but she was down completely the whole time I was incarcerated. He did not speak to me for the first 6 months. He was done, like, complete, and rightfully so, you know what I mean? But he was fed up. And so I lost Ava and my freedom and my mom. And then after losing him, I think that was what was the final straw, where I just hit my knees and was like, okay, God, really? Like, you're going to take everything. Right. But now, looking back, he had to take all of that so that all I could see was him, and he's all that I needed. Yep, you know what I mean? So he definitely carried me through. And then he's given it all back tenfold. I can't even begin to explain to you, like, if somebody would have told me 5 years ago what my life would look like 5 years in the future, I would not believe. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't. I'd been like,
and our life's like flip flop. Like, she was on her knees in the concrete in that place, searching and seeking God. And mine became clouded and just myself. I was just looking out for me at that point.
Sure.
So I went on like this weird guy crusade. Like, I'm just gonna look after me. Make what makes me happy makes me happy.
Yeah, for sure.
And I wasn't pursuing in any way, shape, or form. I would still talk about Jesus. I would still talk about God, but not, I didn't have that relationship. Like, and I thought I'd had a relationship, but I really didn't.
Right.
And it was time where, I don't know, what month would that have been, like August or October? I was on my way to the hardware store, and I had, like, spent a week in nothing but, like, in scripture. Like, I had a supernatural experience myself where there was a presence in my house that was not supposed to be there. Like, it was terrifying. And I think a lot of it was just because the spiritual battle that was going on in our home before that whole thing, right? So anyways, that after that, I was just in the Bible, and I was, like, on my knees in my living room bawling, like, God, what is going on in my life? Like, what are you doing? Like, this is too much. Like, it was an overwhelming experience. And that was when I finally learned what the power of prayer was, because I was on my way to the hardware store at work, and I just pulled over, and I'm like, God, what is going on? Like, why am I just so passionate about just needing you? And, like, I'm just, this is overwhelming. It was scary. And he said, because Andrea's praying, fervently praying. Mm. I was like, what? Mm. I don't even know what fervently means. I had to ask Google.
I had to Google.
I'm like, okay, Google, what does fervent mean, right? Right.
So what I love about that, what he just said, is now Krista Rohrbaugh, she's one of my very best friends, and I spoke with her week after week, like every other day we were on the phone. Right. Yeah. So she was like really there for me throughout this whole journey. And so he would not speak to me, was just done. And I was talking to Krista, and just by listening to what she was telling me he was doing, I was like hitting my knees double time, like, okay, God, like, you need to reel him back in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just really praying for the Spirit to just draw him back in. You know what I mean? Because I knew the man who I've been with for the past 7 years was not the man that I'm hearing is out there. And so I would always tell Krista, I'm fervently praying for him. I'm fervently praying for him. Like, so fervently praying.
Who's the first person? Who's the first person I call?
Krista.
Yeah. I'm like, Krista, this is going to sound completely crazy. Like, every crazy experience I've had when she was locked away, I call Krista. Like, dude, there was like a supernatural presence in my house. Something was beating on the wall. And I'm freaking out. And I started praying. And, like, it was scary. And the God just spoke to me and told me that Andrea is fervently praying for me. And she goes, dude, that's what she tells me she does all the time. She's constantly in fervent prayer for you. And I'm like, oh,
weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know what fervent means? You know what fervent means?
He didn't even know what that word meant, you know? So that was just kind of another, you know, confirmation that that's how the Holy Spirit speaks through us, because I knew what that word meant because I used it, you know, in speech a lot, like talking about him, but that I was passionately praying for him to come back to the Lord, and that the Lord would restore us and have Christ at the center. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I truly, genuinely meant it from the bottom of my heart. So, God is faithful.
Yeah.
And
he
put
us back together. So she did that time. She got out, she went into the, Remnant Ministries at that time, spent months there. Continued working on her relationship.
That was the out of jail into Remnant?
Well, I had gotten modified because I had gotten out of prison a whole year and a half early.
Oh,
so instead of doing the rest of my time in prison, they let me go to a program.
Oh, got
so
it.
I did that.
Got it.
So, yeah, and which was way better, you know, than being in prison and being able to kind of rebuild our relationship now with God in the center of it and do this the right way. So that's just kind of what we did. And we transitioned Ava back in and with him, because she was living in Indy with my sister for the 2 years. So transitioned her back up here. And then we got married in February. I was still in the program, and then took that next 6 weeks to kind of, because that was a lot, you know, people don't think.
It was rough. It was really hard.
The coming back together.
Rough, yes. Yeah. And then not to mention, like, I've been incarcerated for 2 whole years.
Right.
So I'm trying to, it was a lot. So,
experience life again.
So we got married, and I took 6 weeks to kind of transition back home. Mm-hmm. And then, we made it through, didn't we? But there was definitely some, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know?
People always want that fairy tale story, but a lot of times you have to go through some tough stuff to get to that fairy tale story, you know, where you can then share that great experience out of some of the stuff that you had to trudge through to get to, you know. It's like that little thing where you dig to get to the gold, and then you stop short, and the gold's right on the other side.
Like right there,
instead of just digging.
You missed
harder.
The blessing because you stopped too early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just been a beautiful journey, and I know people think that sounds real jacked up, you know what I mean? But I am not sorry for any of it at all, because had I not walked through that darkness, I say it all the time, but it's
your
so true, I would
same.
Not know what his glorious light is, and that is the truth of
it
the matter,
changes
you know what
completely.
I mean? It does. And so, like, we go to this recovery church, and it's like a worship, and I'm telling you, like, that is one of my favorite things is worship. When I worship, I worship. You right. know what I mean? And I jump and no, I scream and I'm hours. Like, woo, because yeah. I know what he pulled me out of. You right. know what I mean? And I am just eternally grateful for it. And I don't take it lightly at all, you know, because right. I know it was him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anyway, so I come home and me, Ava, and Jeff are, you know, trying to learn how to live together again because everything's just been real jacked up for a couple years. And I don't know. I went, started school. I only had 5 classes left to graduate when I did get into addiction. Like, literally, I was that close. It's crazy. Wow. So I get out of prison. I'm like, I have 5 classes, and I'll have my bachelor's. So I'm like, I have to finish. That's just silly. So I finished the 5 classes, graduated in May with my bachelor's in criminal justice. And then I modified off probation early, a year, a little bit. Yeah,
that's amazing. Year early. Year early. That never happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, ever. God. Ever. Never. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I got this job, just fell in my lap to kind of to work with your awesome mom at Grace and Mercy Transitional House.
So, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot she's my that boss. They work together.
Yep. Yep. My mother is her boss.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, she let her have the day off today.
Yeah. She did to be here.
What's really cool about that, she was talking about being on probation, and when she got released from probation and she got this job and she's been rocking it out daily, wee hours, being in ministry, you know what that looks like. Yeah. Like it's exhausting but highly rewarding. The probation officer she has is actually now on the board for Grace and Mercy.
Yeah.
Really?
Like she was so touched by what was going on.
Can you let us say her name?
I don't know, I think.
Give me the first letter.
She just always said her probation office.
Hannah? Johanna.
Johanna?
Yeah. Like that was going to help? Like you were going to play a guessing game? Or
yeah. It was in Fort Wayne?
No, here in Huntington. Johanna.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
She was my probation officer, so I was literally at work. And she calls me, and I'm in your mom's office, and I put her on speakerphone. She's like, congratulations, you're off probation. And I was just thrilled because I had done a couple years, I think, you know. Yeah. So anyway, we just started talking, and then it just came up that we needed a board member because she wanted to come take a tour of the place. Right. And we were like, yeah, absolutely. And then, your mom asked her and she was like, yes, I would love to. Mm. So
that's amazing.
I just think it's really cool, you know, and I have such a good relationship like with my probation officers because I've had 3 in the whole 2 years with all of them. And I work with them now because now I have women that are sentenced and I have to continue contact with them, but on this side. So that's kind of
cool.
That is cool. But yeah. And
it's
then
like God was building that network that she needed.
Yeah. Like the officers, I have an awesome relationship with my arresting officer that built the case against me.
Well,
I love him.
They're seeing a different perspective. Like they knew you before, they knew you like during your bad. And now they see you like today. So it also is giving them a different light on the people that they're going to arrest. Sure.
He would stop by and be like, listen,
yes, he
you
did.
You gotta fix this.
Absolutely,
like,
he
this
did.
Is a mess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He Gives 6 months before they kicked my door in, he stopped by, him and another officer, and I answered the door, and I'm thinking like, oh,
this is the day.
People do it.
The worst day ever.
Yeah. And but he was like, listen. And he knew everything about me.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, so I see your doctor's appointments on Thursday. You got any pills left? And I was like, no. Why? What's it to you? Like real cocky at, you know?
Right.
And he's like, well, what are you going to do till then? And I'm like, well, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it was just mind blowing how much I'm like, y'all are really checking up on me, aren't you? Yeah. You know?
Right.
But he was like, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to go get help.
Yeah.
Go get help before something bad happens.
Mm. Right.
I'm like, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
Like, how do you just, cause that was just, you know what I mean? Like, how do you want me to get through these horrible withdrawals? Please tell me that, because that is what was stopping.
Yeah, right.
Like they can say that, but they're not the ones going through it.
I mean, tried, Jeff and I we went like through, it was probably like 13 hours of nonstop to where I was convulsing. I can't even describe to the
walk out the door,
make
a half a block down the road, right back into the house. Couldn't even make it anymore. Like, lay down, half asleep, get up.
Cause you know, what's going to make you. Yeah. So, and it's just like 5 minutes down
thing
the road. Yeah.
Immediately.
So can I highlight one thing? Cause we talked about this in men's group last night. So we're talking about this whole idea of like being passionate for the Lord, you know, and one of the things, and I hear this all the time, like, well, it's different from somebody who's come from an addiction background. I grew up in the church. So sure, the person who was rescued from addiction is going to be more passionate than the person that grew up in religion.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Wait a second. Listen.
To a certain extent.
No, not a, this should never be true. Yeah. This should never be true. Mm-hmm. The same Holy Spirit rescued you. Here's the deal. You need to look at that life and see what you were rescued from. Because right. when you're seeing this, just so you understand, from God's perspective, the rescue was the same.
Absolutely.
The rescue was the same. Yes. And I don't know why you think that rescue is a greater gift than mm-hmm. the rescue that you got, but you missed it because the rescue was the rescue. We mm-hmm. were both rescued from the same thing, a place that we deserve, a yeah. place right. that we still deserve. Andrea had to live through it, you know, and go through it. You didn't, but the rescue of the gift same. That he yeah. gave you
yeah.
so that the excuse to not be passionate for the Lord and not worship and... Like you said, I yeah. worship and scream because I know what I was rescued from. Mm-hmm. I know we were rescued from the same yep. thing.
Right.
Why mm-hmm. aren't we? Like,
right.
It's so funny because at Life, you know, I'm not sure if people know they're allowed to clap or not allowed to clap.
We were just talking about
that. We did. I said, listen, there's...
You come to Life Church and
y'all
it's
are
like,
going to think we're nuts yeah. if we came no, to your it's service. The funny thing is,
yeah, so I'm like, it's so funny because it's like the smattering. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
And I'm like, what the world is going on around yep. here? Like, why isn't anybody excited? But you know how it is. Culturally, it gets weird. Yeah. I'm like, yes. scream, yell, amen, talk.
Well, here's the way that I really just wrap my brain around it. Before I came to the Lord, I would go to concerts. What did I do at these concerts? Yeah, sure. You know what I mean? Woo! Yeah, and I'm jumping right. up yes. and down with yeah. my, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, why can't we do that for the Lord?
Well, she did that in the car too.
Again, I don't understand this concept of like, because I went to church forever, the rescue's not the same.
Right. Oh yeah, it is
really
absolutely
don't
the same.
See
yeah.
yourself right. the way that God sees you yep. because it's we all true. Needed rescue, yep. you know, and we all have different life stories. But yep. if we're right. talking about what we were rescued from, and how we should be celebrating mm-hmm. that, you just are looking at it wrong.
Right.
I mean, because just because somebody had an addiction and yeah. was rescued from addiction, and you were rescued from, you know, you're saying
lying
nothing. I mean, they're yeah. just saying nothing. Because yeah. I just yeah. grew up in church, so my rescue was not near as dramatic. I'm yeah. like, okay, I wish you could see the spiritual realm and the right. understanding and the things that were going yeah. on, and I yeah. wish you could know what you were rescued from, because if you did, you would mm-hmm. not be like, oh, I kind of grew up in a church, and it's kind of why I'm, you know, complacent and not really excited yeah. because I don't really have that much to be excited about. And I'm going right. to be like,
yep.
can you hear that through the thing? I want to like bang my head on the wall yeah. because that makes no sense to me.
I like, think yeah. people just like, they see those stories and they think that they're so much worse than their life. So they kind of, well, A, they're comparing, and B, they're not really putting into perspective that God does see everything the same. Like, a lie is the same thing as, like, yeah. if someone was rescued from a lie,
yeah.
it's the same thing. Because yeah. that lie may be the same feeling of how our addiction was. Yeah. You
the,
know what I mean?
Yeah, but the, what we're trying to say is, like, let's get to the heart of this.
Right.
Like, what are you truly rescued
yeah,
from?
The because, damnation, the
yeah,
eternal fire.
Yeah, you're
rescued
from what you deserved. Yeah. And that's to be separated from God from forever in a mm-hmm. place called hell.
Right.
Just because you grew up in the church or you had an addiction, we both got rescued from what we deserve. Right. And we should be jumping
yeah.
yes. up
every single day that we wake up and encounter a graceful, merciful Lord that forgives me when I don't yep. deserve it. I don't care if my sin was this and yep. your sin mm-hmm. was that. At the end yeah. of the day, the rescue's the same, and we should be celebrating it like we celebrate right. every other
Everything.
Thing in life.
Yeah.
Every other thing in life. We don't do this unless you're at a golf tournament.
No golf
I mean, mm-hmm. you are at the Savior's yeah. place celebrating with other yeah. people, giving them a witness to how excited you are about Jesus, and you're like,
why is it like that?
It was okay.
Why is it like that? Like, there are just some churches that, like, I don't know, like, if I did that here, I think people would look at me weird. You know, maybe at first until it, like, became a normal
no,
thing.
No, no, like, listen, but, yeah, bring you the know? Littles back. Why is anybody whistling? No, again, this is what I think we need. Too many times, it's like, there's some churches that worship in a certain way.
Right.
They're passionate, and they
right.
scream and raise their hands and do whatever, and then there's certain churches that are, and you need to pick the one that fits more. And I'm like, get excited.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
care how yeah. you show your excitement.
Right.
Get excited. Yeah. You know, if you're excited, express it in the same way you would if you were excited in life.
Right.
Some people raise their hands. Some people clap. Some people whistle. Some people mm-hmm. do. But yeah. but be excited because your Lord and Savior rescued you. Yes. And this is a reminder every single day to do it. And so let's talk about, so Matthew 25, that's what we talked about this week. So the whole idea is intentional Christmas.
Right.
So the idea is we're naturally selfish, right? So Christmas just sometimes highlights it, you know, because we're focused a lot. It does one or the other. Like you're like, oh, it's Christmas time, I need to think of other people. Or it's like, it's Christmas time and I got all these gifts to buy and tree to put up and all the stuff that goes with it. And you get somewhat miss the point, you know, of celebrating the birth of Christ. And so we started with this idea in Matthew 25 that was like, we need to be intentional when it comes to this idea of other people, right? And we need to figure out, like, what is it that he wants us to do, you know? And so in Matthew 25, he starts with, and so we're kind of crunched on time, so I'm just going to sum it up. So he starts with some parables, right? So the parable of the 10 virgins. So it starts with that. And essentially it was some of them were prepared and some weren't. So he's like, you should be prepared because someday I'm coming back. Someday there's going to be, you know, and you need to be ready. Then it goes to the parable of the landowner who gave away the bags of gold and they got the bags of gold. And essentially it wasn't, I'm coming back. So you should take that and you should be intentional to grow it, right? Yeah. I gave you something, you should be intentional. Then he gets to this part of like, okay, now if you didn't get this, let me bring it into perspective. And here's the perspective. There's a day of reckoning coming. I told you to be intentional, right? And I think some people are out there like, well, I don't really know what to be intentional about. And what's he really mean? He said, I'll just sum it up for you. So he says, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. And he says, this is how the separation is going to work. So some are going to go, the sheep are going to go to one way and the goats are going to go the other way. And the separation is based upon whether you did these things. You fed the hungry, you took care of the sick, you clothed the naked, you visited people in jail. Essentially, he's highlighting this idea that we would, because there could be a full list. You know, the list could be way longer.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he highlights this idea. These are the marginalized people of the world. Right? So he's like,
I agree.
You get into this focus sometimes of taking care of people who are like you, and you forget sometimes that there are people that are not like you, that are marginalized. So remember, intentionality takes you getting outside of your natural circle and working towards people who are not in it. So he highlights that, you know, and he says, if you do these things, come in. Your inheritance is great. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven, because when you did this, it's like doing it for me. But then the real, like, harder part, I think, for people to get is then he comes back and says, so you guys that didn't do it, you're going to hell. Now think about this. So in a grace-filled salvation, right? So we tell people all the time, like, you can only be saved by grace, by faith. That's the only way we get saved. Now all of a sudden he's telling you a parable. Here's the parable. If you're not taking care, if you're not intentional about other people, you're going to hell. Now, how's that supposed to work? How does that fit into the whole, and why would he even say it? So why would a, because he already told us this, right? Like, it's grace and it's mercy and and you can't earn it. Then he comes back and says, but you know, when it comes to judgment day, some people are going to get separated, and you know how they're going to get separated? On whether or not they were intentional about other people. You know, so isn't that, so what I want to talk about is this. Here's what's interesting to me about the church sometimes. And
it's never taught. It's never taught.
But here's the funny thing. And I said this in our men's group last night. So usually people, like we talk about or we do the things that we think we're graded on. You know, so as an example, like people give their life to Christ. And naturally what people look at is are you being better, Andrea? Like, are you better? You stopped doing all the bad things you're doing. And, you know, so it's again, like we know Andrea's good because she stopped doing drugs. We know Jenny's good because she stopped doing drugs. We know Jeff is good because now he's going back to church. And so we determine good sometimes about how you are and what you do. But we are, we would already determine this. Scripture already decided that Jeff's bad. Jeff's never good enough.
No, ever.
So this whole idea of whether he is or isn't reading his Bible or isn't or is or isn't doing drugs, we're never good enough. So this idea of determination of good being whether we ourselves are doing the things that we're supposed to do or we ourselves are getting better, that's not this determination. You know what the determination of good on the judgment day was? Whether you thought about somebody else other than yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why isn't that taught? Because I told him last night, you know, the funny thing is I about flunked out of school and VBS, both. When I went to VBS, you know what they preached? Like, you couldn't graduate to the next level of VBS unless you could memorize a scripture verse and say it in front of everybody.
I'd have failed.
Like, you, no, here's the point.
Read it off my hand.
Yeah.
But think about this, Jeff. Did we teach our young people to reach their friends or memorize the Bible?
Right.
Memorize the Bible.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
What did he, what does scripture say you're going to be held accountable for? How much you know or what you did?
What you did.
Right? And that's what I'm saying. Like, what has happened to the church? Mm-hmm. They were so focused on this idea of, like, this is about me getting better and about me. And I'm not saying we shouldn't get better. Like, I mean, obviously he wants us to read scripture and obviously he wants us to do these things. But how have we missed the point of being so focused on our own lives that we forgot about other people? Because that has to be what's happening. You know, I mean, because if we're naturally selfish, and I said this before, one of the reasons the churches aren't growing is because I don't think people care about people anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they forgot. They're like, as long as I'm good, and this is what I always tell them, I don't know, if you read this, you're not too good.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's somewhat humbling when he says, on Judgment Day, I'm not going to ask you how much you knew or what you did or how much of your life was right. I'm going to ask you what you did for other people. Mm-hmm. And you could put that list together, you know, on what those things are. So talk to me a little bit about maybe your own experience of, like, how you guys, because you guys have, like, in your ministry, you've said, like, I've had this life experience and God has changed me, but we're turning around and we're giving it to other people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that.
So that they can see Jesus too.
Yeah, I mean, because you guys are investing into the lives of other people. It wasn't just, I got over my addiction, thank the Lord, now I'm going to go back to normal life.
Well, there's an awesome quote for recovery, and it's, you can't keep what you have unless you give it away.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of the same principle. For me, my recovery is Jesus Christ, period. Right. I just think that, like, just watching the sermon and everything, it just, I could really resonate with just everything that Jeff and I, even as a couple, have been through. And then what we're doing with these ministries is just giving back. And you have to love people who are sometimes unlovable.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
A lot of the time.
Yeah. And so believe me, it is so hard. Like, I am so passionate about doing this, but it definitely can be a very emotionally draining. Yeah, I need him every day. Yeah.
Right. Well, what Jesus was saying in Matthew 25 is that if you go serve other people, it's like serving me. So you're doing it in two ways. So one, he's teaching us this principle that would say, if you want a personal relationship with me, pour into other people.
Yeah.
Because it's going to grow, because what you do for the least of these, I'm going to be there. And so we can't even explain this, but when you do it, you're going to get something back that you can't get when you're selfish. Mm-hmm. Right.
No.
And then he also says, and you're going to do it. The reason you're going to do it is your motivation isn't to be good. Your motivation is because you see Jesus.
That's
right. Exactly what you were saying. Like, the motivation for us doing this or serving other people is because I see Jesus in Jenny. Whether she sees it or not, I see it. And my motivation to serve her is because I see Jesus in her. And what I want to bring to the surface is Jesus doing the work in her so she can see the same thing. Right. So she can see Jesus in the midst of that. And that's some of what you guys are doing with, you know, people as you guys are working, whether it's through your testimony ministry, through the church, or whether, you know, in your individual stuff that you're doing. And
the testimonies are huge. I mean, that means a lot. So you pouring into Jenny because you see Jesus in Jenny, then Jenny starts to see value in herself and then sees it in other people and starts to bring it through the Cafe of Hope or through podcasts. Same with Andrea, who she dumps into. Like, there's very tangible evidence of that growth in people just from what you just said.
And
testimonies are like a real big thing. Like, that's what we're trying to get more around here. That's what we've been talking about is trying to start a testimony night, because we could sit there and read the Bible, but sometimes the best Bible for people to read is the person. Right? Like, they may never really ever dig into a Bible, but looking into the life of Mike Hill and how he carries himself, or Jenny or Andrea or Nick back here with the headphones on, like, what does that look like? That might be the only Bible that they ever seen. I don't know what version Nick is, but
let's again, and everybody knows me because they know I love the Bible and they know I love to read, but there is no more powerful story than yours.
Right.
Yeah.
There's just not. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we say all the time, we need to be the best storytellers possible, because there is no story like yours. And when you say it, you put God on display. Like, that's the point. And I don't even mean this bad, but let's be honest. When a lot of people read this, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we can help make some sense of it. But when I can, and this is why we're doing the podcast, because your story and your story and Jenny's story and my, how we do life, that's a powerful testimony that we need to say. Like, God is alive.
Yeah.
And God is working. And sometimes when you read this, you wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is ancient history and
and
you don't really know. And how does it all fit together? And it doesn't even really make any sense to me. But your story like connects, and your story connects. Yeah. And we need to remember there's power in a story, and there's power in remembering that, you know, we need to tell people. And the reason we need to tell people, because he's still living, he's still changing lives, he's still showing up in jail cells, he's still showing up in houses, he's still showing up in wherever you are, he's still showing up. Yep. Like, look for
him. Places you don't want him to be, he'll be there.
No, that's my, but my point is, look for him. Yeah. Like, he's still showing up because he wants that. He wants us to be able to see those things. And so I think you're right. Like, we need to not forget the power of our story put together with his story of redemption, you know, can change the lives of people, you know? And so how do we help? Let's talk about how do we help our audience, or maybe how are you like looking at your own life to say, you know what, at the end, I do know this. Like, there is an accountability for whether I was intentional with other people. And so what can we give back to our audience to say, like, this has been helpful for me. This is what's allowed me to be able to look at other people in a different way. So tell me, like, through your story or way that you could give a suggestion or helpful thing to our audience to say, if we know that we need to be out there helping other people, this is what I do to help me with the process. Because none of us are perfect. Some days we're very selfish and we just wake up and it's all about me today and it's okay, right? Like, we work through that. But help get a perspective on maybe some things that, that you've done or some things that you, other people can do and try to help invest in the lives of other people. So, Jenny, any thoughts, or do we have to wait on you? Again, like always.
Normally, you do.
But you have it right now?
It takes a lot for my brain to, like, really think about things.
No, I know.
I'm so, so glad he called you first.
Do we need to wait?
I know, right?
Do we need to move on to Jeff? What?
You said, I'm so glad that you were called on first. No, I think for me, like, looking back on my own life, like, sometimes I have to remember what I've gone through because sometimes I feel so far from it, even though I'm not, that it's really hard to push off and not think that that happened. But for me, I have to, like, put myself back in that situation, not in the situation, but I have to remind myself of where I came from. And then by that, I'm reminded of how I felt and what this person is going through. Because sometimes I'll see people that are going through something that I could help them from, but I'm not always on that mindset like I need to be. So,
and don't you think too, Jenny, like, you for sure, and I want to keep reminding of you this, you need to be reminded of your calling and who you are.
Right.
Like, God told you he's going to use your story to change the lives of people. So don't let distractions and work and stress and other things, your dog, keep you away from.
Hey, he could lead somebody to Jesus.
Oh my gosh. We're not even going down that road. We're late already. But my point is, sometimes you need to be reminded, like, you know, he gave you a story, but the story's to tell to help other people. And you do a great job of that, but I'm just saying,
it's easy to
be reminded that that you've been called, that you've been separated, that you've been gifted, that the Holy Spirit's living in you to be able to do those things.
Really, like, one thing I pull on the most is what somebody had prophesied to me, and those words alone have kept me going when I felt the most, like, defeated, I guess, or distracted, or, like, I remember that I do have a calling. I remember those words, and that has helped me a lot to be able to remember, like, you need to keep moving.
Right, right. Good. Jeff, thoughts?
I could kind of, like, share, like, my perception of what addicts look like before I ever lived with somebody I loved that was in addiction, or met so many people that I care for that were in it, or life experience in other ways that I use as a constant reminder. But I a lot of times my fallback to, like, bring myself where I need to be is influence. And this is probably 6 years ago, you talked about King David and the influences that he had on people. And when we think about the one who God called one of his own, like, he, you know, David was so close to God that he then went out and did what he did and brought everything apart and had a guy killed and whatever. So the influence that each and every one of us have, no matter if you think, well, like you said earlier in the church, I was never, like, in addiction, so I don't have this passion and this
this push forward, like some of these people did that have like these really traumatic life stories mm-hmm. that God rescued them from, because I don't feel as rescued in that same mm-hmm. way, or I don't have that same drive, that it doesn't matter if you've went to church your whole life and you don't think you have an influence, you have a very strong influence. And it can be something as simple as a kind word in a grocery store lied to your child mm-hmm. that might influence the person behind you. And in the same way, a derogatory comment about somebody may affect somebody third hand, fourth hand down the road. Like
right.
that influence that each and every one of us have, and the responsibility that comes with us as kingdom men and women yeah. that are serving that purpose to move his word forward and to bring people closer to him, it depends a lot on our influence. So when I start to like feel like I'm not good enough, or I'm not equipped, or I'm tired and I don't really want to do this no more, there's nobody showing up, like, what does this look like? I got to remember that I still have an influence. So if people aren't showing up and I decide to check out, there could be people that missed out,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, it could have been that one day that I checked out and somebody showed up and knocked on the door and nobody was there because I decided today wasn't the day for me. You know?
Yeah, and so, can I add to it, yeah, Jeff, absolutely. A little bit? Because I think, you know, you hit on two things. One, we can have good influence or bad influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we see that as, like, action-oriented. And so I just want to remind people that we can also have an influence by doing nothing.
Sure.
By yeah. having no yeah. action yeah. in your life.
Absolutely.
And I think that's actually one of yeah. the greatest cultural things that's wrong yeah. in the church today is we've yeah. accepted the culture of apathy.
Yeah.
And the idea, and that we forgot that we're influencing everybody around us, because when you move, either other people are going to, when you're a church that moves, you're either going to get up and move with it
yeah.
or you're going to be comfortable because we told you just keep sitting around.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think what you're saying is awesome, that we like our influence and our actions, we can be derogatory and it can have influence, or we can be positive and have influence, but we also going to have influence by sitting back and yeah. doing nothing. And the people around us are saying, wow, that's just the way to do it. So,
yeah.
you know, being reminded that apathy is also an influence, and honestly has become somewhat of an epidemic,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, in yeah, doing no things. So.
Definitely.
Yep.
Next. My mindset before I ever got into addiction and before I was ever in relationship with Christ, super arrogant, I feel like, and very prideful. And I'm just being real.
Yeah,
like,
for
I
sure.
looked at people in a completely different light than what I do now. And even I guess at the core of myself then, I thought I was this, like, great, good person.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
until
yeah,
I
sure.
really, truly was just in a cell with Jesus in the Bible and really just started reading and, I guess just all of my flaws and sin were shown to me, and I was pretty disgusted with myself. So I guess it just flipped. I just had this complete flip, and I don't know how else to describe it. And then just going through addiction and incarceration and
right.
all of it, now I am way more compassionate towards we're just broken.
Right.
Every
mm-hmm.
single
right.
one of us are broken
right.
In different ways, you mm-hmm. know? And I guess I just, before I didn't know that. As crazy as that sounds,
right.
I
no.
did not
no.
know that.
Right.
I thought that I just had it all together.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I have goals and I'm going to sit like, it's just, it's crazy
right.
how different your mindset can change when you have an encounter with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause,
yeah, everything.
Everything changes,
right.
yeah.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. So I'll end it up with this. Like, I'm a naturally, I'm a naturally driven person. So I've always
mm-hmm.
thought this, like, I could have a big time addictive personality because I'm like, I'm either all in or I'm all out,
yeah,
you know? And
yeah.
so when I go anywhere down a road, it's like, this is either going to go really bad or like really good, you know, because I'm like going down these roads 100
yeah.
miles an hour. So I have to be very intentional with my time and the things that I do, because otherwise I'm naturally selfish to get done what I want,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I want to get these things done. And I don't even mean this in a bad way, but people can sometimes be an interruption to
yeah.
getting life done. And I don't even, and I hope people understand that. It's just like you guys were saying, you could line your day up and sometimes it's nice not to have anything in your day, but what you want to do.
Yeah.
So I have to be very intentional on, like, if I'm going to do this and invest in the lives of other people, I need to really put it in my calendar. Like, I have to put
yeah.
it in my calendar. I honestly won't get it done. Like, I have to make sure. So for me, who is a planner, so not everybody's personality is this way, but I'm a planner. So I need to go through at the beginning of my week. So we do it on Sunday, and mm-hmm. I need to go through and plan my week. Or otherwise, it'll just naturally, everything else will come in, whatever happens. So I would just recommend, if we, you know, want to go down this road and value other people, it's not that I don't value because I put you in my calendar. It's I do value because that's my personality. And right. so I think mm-hmm. for some people, that's just the way yeah. that it has to work. Mm-hmm. Like it, some sure. other people could just do it whenever.
Yeah.
For me, I need to have it in my calendar. Otherwise, I'll never get it done. And yeah. so I think that's something. And the other part of it is I think all of us need to remember what's at the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so when I wake up every day, you know, there's two things that I'm reminded of, especially lately. Thank you that I got breath today because, yeah. I mean, life has become very, you know, fragile, mm-hmm. you know, and the whole Indeed. Idea of like, you just don't know. And
yeah.
you guys have experienced it. And yeah. I've experienced it. And a lot of people have experienced it. I get today. So I'm going to try to take yep. advantage right. of today. And I know that I'm seeing you soon. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what soon is. It might be my own death or you might be coming back.
Yeah.
I don't want to be caught off guard. Right. I want to know that to the best of my ability, I'm doing what you asked me to do. I'm loving other people to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to come in safe when it comes to standing at the gates. I don't want to be standing. I want to become sliding in sideways. Yep. I want to be running so hard that car is doing 360s on the way in and crashes into the wall. Because that's just the way I want to live. Like, I don't want to just make it without any scars or make right. it just barely yeah. getting there. I want to know that I ran it hard and I ran it to the end and we could slide through. And I think for all of us, we, you know, it's something that you guys are showing and that we're trying to help people understand. Right. Like, let God work. Let the Holy Spirit, let's bring back let's make aware of the supernatural. Yes. God's yeah, absolutely. Doing,
Amen.
God's doing amazing things and he wants to change the world and he wants to use you.
Yep.
Will you be a part of mm-hmm. it? You know, and that's what we're hoping for. So ending it up, so fan segments. You guys get a vote on Christmas tree. So our
yes.
Oh yeah, Jenny, I took your side.
It's so okay.
Go ahead, explain our fan segment.
All right. So our fan segment is we pick a theme each week. I don't know which thing I'm looking at. I haven't even looked at it the whole
it's
time.
Okay. You don't
I know,
have to look at it. You got a great producer. He's doing
fine. That's true. I do. Thanks, yeah. Nick. But you send us a picture on whatever our theme is every week to the roundtable at lifehuntington.com, and you have a chance to win a $10 gift card.
And so last week's was.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. You don't want me to. No, keep going.
I'm usually sorry. You always make me say this.
I always want you to say
it. We do this because we want interaction. We want comments, feedback, questions. We want to basically be in touch with you and we want this to be more than what it is. So we need your help.
Continue the conversation.
Yes.
So it happens in that
yes.
way. All right.
Yeah.
So we're voting on Christmas trees.
Yeah. So Christmas trees was this week.
Okay.
We so have had
he's
a
got
lot.
It up there too. You don't even have to turn it on.
Yeah.
We had a ton of them.
Okay.
Like so many that we couldn't even put all of them in here. So to everyone that may be watching the cinnamon, I'm sorry.
Okay. So this one is Nick. Are we allowed to say their names?
Well, that's Olivia's.
Is that Olivia's?
I'm pretty sure.
Because if we vote on how are we going to know who wins?
I'm pretty sure that's Olivia.
Okay, so Olivia's.
Yeah, it is. Oh, and I do know that's Gus.
Who's
the
Gus?
Dog. The dog.
Huh?
The dog's name is even, Gus.
So what's that mean?
I don't know.
You're supposed to be looking at the Christmas tree.
She doesn't know
tree.
The name of her family, but she knows the dog.
If we don't remember who it was, I know that that's dog
that
Gus.
Dog
yes.
Oh.
So the Kriegers put their dog in the picture because they thought Jenny would vote on it. Then.
Yep. I know. I really. That's yep. smart.
What do they call that? They call that placement.
Are you serious?
They're strategic.
The dog influence is going too far.
Look at him.
Wow, that's different.
I know.
Cool.
Isn't that pretty?
Are we voting on the picture or just the tree?
Just the tree.
Just
yes,
the tree. Just the tree. So okay. No dog votes.
I mean, it made me like the tree more. This one is Tara Long's.
Okay.
That's a big tree.
It is.
That's cool. Is it real or fake?
I know. That's what I
want
to know.
Wow, a white tree.
This is Gary.
Gary Rubel.
Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen a white tree in a long time.
I know. And look, it's pink, too. Way to go in making your tree pink for your daughter. That should be known.
Wow, that's
pretty.
Elegant.
Yeah.
That is.
That's like an elegant tree.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
Whose is that?
It looks like there's snow on it. You think they spray painted snow?
Remember those cans of spray that had snow on them, like that were highly flammable? Like back in the 80s, nobody cared. They're like, put this on your tree, and everybody was smoking around the tree.
Oh my god! Like the trees. Cat that got its tail on fire from what is that movie?
Crapper's Hole.
You know that movie.
Well, I know which exactly.
Christmas
old
Vacation.
Movie.
Christmas yeah. Vacation. Yeah,
man, where the cat yeah. did what?
Where his tail got on fire. Yeah.
No, and he bit the lights.
Yeah,
he bit the lights and his whole body was on fire.
Yeah, yeah, he burnt the chair up.
Yeah, he was like.
But he was on fire.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This next one is from Hannah Bangma. She says she's running a little bit behind. So she
I know what it is.
Nice.
Isn't that great? So that's what her tree would look like.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah,
for those just
way
listening,
to think outside of the box.
Yeah, the,
it's just a tree that she
snowflake
drew.
Yeah. Wrap
it's very
it's
bright.
Pretty.
Yeah.
It's very bright, like it. Vibrant. Look, it's a snowman. Look, it's got shoes
that's
and boots.
Cool.
Never yeah. have seen one like that.
I
isn't
have
that
not
ever?
Either.
That's actually kind of neat.
I know.
Wow.
And all the youngs coming through.
Right?
That was going to say.
And
that,
no dog.
From a creativity cool. standpoint, that one.
I know.
There.
Oh, that's pretty.
That wow. is so beautiful.
See, that's her traditional. That's got that. The color
and
lights.
Wait, are those,
color
yeah, those
lights
are
on.
Colored lights.
Who doesn't like color lights
Why
in
can't
here?
We bring them back?
Okay,
I
well, my
love
wife
color.
Only did white lights.
Really?
So this used to be white lights.
Oh, I always used to do color back in
we
the day.
We used to have color
back
and
in
they
the day
flashed.
I did.
Yeah.
What?
And they like twinkled or whatever they were called. Whose is this one, Nick?
I'm trying to find it.
Shawnee.
Shawnee was before. That was Shanny.
That's what I meant.
That's her actual name.
Shanny.
But Shanny.
Dang it, my bad.
This one is drum roll.
I told you I would separate them, Nick.
Debbie Young.
Debbie and her colored lights.
Yeah, that's cool. Team
colored lights. I just love the whole vibe.
What's
in
next?
There. Oh, wow. That
that's
is
cool.
pretty.
Another, like,
yep.
That's cool. Who's
it's
is
a
that?
Little.
Andy Richardson Rains.
Okay.
It's. Got colors on it, and it's
and
a white
it's got
tree.
A nativity scene.
Yeah, I like the nativity
yes.
scene. Yeah.
And then this
wait for it. Can you zoom it?
This is Kopke manure tree.
It's got little
Nick Kopke.
I'm
like,
I was
hey,
say, what
maybe
is that?
Able to see it better.
Yeah. So he has okay. like it all has to do with his manure business. Manure.
Yeah. So he works. Oh. That makes it more funny. Is the fact that that's what
that's
he does.
Funny.
Yeah. No. So everything on there has something to do with. Like the scripture
that's
verse
smart.
That he put on mm-hmm. there is about fertile soil.
It is.
Because manure yes. getting put on. So yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, so
that's
he did
funny.
It all that went with see the little poop thing.
You did
the
it? You decorated it?
Huh?
You decorated it?
No, I didn't decorate it. He was showing it to me last night.
That is so funny.
No, he showed it to me last that's night great. And was saying, like, when you put this up here, don't forget the intentionality. It's got pigs and cows and poop and
I mean
you know.
That's creative too.
Yeah, I like that one.
I know,
yeah.
I do
too. Like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the big vote.
Why do I always have to go first?
You don't have to.
I picked the poop one. But I really wanted to pick Gary's too. I'm sorry.
Which one stood out to you, Jeff?
I'm going to go with the Mr. Hanky tree.
the poop tree.
Mr. Hanky
tree.
Yeah. The Kopke tree.
Oh, that, yeah, for sure.
I know.
The poop tree.
Yeah,
it was hard.
That is
yeah,
awesome.
Again, so Nick, do you have a vote?
My vote doesn't even matter.
No, it does.
Yep.
It does.
I was going to go with a snowman.
I
that
know.
Was, you know what? That was my number two.
Yeah,
so
I did
Snowman
Tree too, but
number
you guys,
two, and then
you
the other
year
with
out,
the
so
color lights.
There were so many. We should have two winners.
Yeah. So, huh?
We should have two winners.
Well, you can.
You're
in charge
so
of it.
There were so many.
You're
of
in
them.
Charge of it. Do you want two winners?
Yes.
First, second, third.
Okay. So Shanny
yes.
and Nick okay. win for the top
okay.
two.
Okay.
Right. So the Snowman Tree. Yeah.
That it was just those
okay.
Were
so what's next week?
Creativity.
What's next week?
So next week with the whole like intentionality and how we're doing intentional Christmas.
Okay.
We want you to send in the pictures from you doing something. What is so funny?
You just seem to get lost. What
I
you're
do.
Saying.
I don't
you
know
like
what happened.
You forgot what you were saying.
I do though. Like
I know.
I can't
okay. So what do you want them to send?
Pick.
In?
I'm trying to say it,
okay.
but then I'm getting lost in the midst of it.
Okay.
Pictures of you doing something intentional. So,
okay.
like, say,
like give somebody
has something be nice, intentional?
Yes, because
okay.
it's going along with the intentional Christmas that
okay.
we're doing. So, it could be you putting the cart back. It could be you helping, I don't know, hold a door open, anything.
Okay.
Anything that you're being intentional on.
Okay.
Yes.
It could even be something that's not on that list that we
sure.
gave
yeah.
out. Like, you
yeah.
could do anything that you would be like, I thought of somebody else.
Right.
And
right.
and can we add this? It doesn't even have to be a picture. Can they send in just like, I did this?
Ooh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Because
so, sometimes yes. it's like, I want to tell you my story.
I like
we're
that
talking
better.
About the power of story.
I like that better.
Right? So they could say, this week I did because I valued
yes.
somebody
yes.
else. And again, it's not from the standpoint of propping yourself up. It's telling the story.
Yeah.
You're helping other people learn how to do it. I
right.
think we need to remember our sharing of our story isn't to prop ourselves up. It's to help other people learn. You know, like, hey, there's a way that I could do it.
And
know,
to learn that
of
a lot of those moments come in, like, when you least expect it.
So share your intentional moments of how you valued other people.
I like the words better.
Yeah, so it could be word or picture, but yeah, either way you want to do it.
But
so.
We prefer words.
That's yeah, so win. Jeff and Andrew, we just want to say thank you, you guys, for coming on and being able to share your story. Us. And again, we're going to continue to pray for you guys as you're going on and doing ministry and continue to work in the lives of people, you know, praying that he keeps using your story to be able to change people. And again, thanks everybody for joining us. Again, we want you to subscribe, you know, whether you're watching it on YouTube or whether you're listening to us online, we'd love for you to subscribe. And the way that you can help us is Jenny puts us out on Facebook. If you can share it, you know, with other people,
like,
it gives
comment.
Other people an opportunity to be able to see it and see what's going on and be able to join us in this. So again, thanks for joining this week. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
See ya.